Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 55 and let us consider verse 6 as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Isaiah 55 at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And there is much said in this part of the chapter addressed to sinners, calling on them to come and obtain mercy. And that's what we have here in the few words of this particular verse, a direction to seek the Lord and to call upon him, to call upon his name. In other words, to call upon him, to call upon the Lord as he is revealed. You see, more than today, parents give names to their children, which referred possibly to some circumstance in connection with the situation of the family at the time when the child is born. Or more particularly, something about the child. I'm thinking of Samuel being born, and they called him, well, Samuel, asked of God. Samuel had no, Hannah had no children, but she asked the Lord for a child. She asked, and the Lord answered. And that was how Samuel was known, this child that grew up, this child that was called to be a prophet. He was the one that had been asked of God. And that was a great matter. It was a great matter that Hannah was someone who asked. She asked in a believing way. And the Lord heard it and granted her the blessing of a child. She asked of God. That was a great matter too. Many a woman in Israel very likely asked false gods to give her a child. That wasn't Hannah. She asked of the true God. And her asking in faith was therefore something that followed her all the days of her life. She had sought the Lord while he was to be found. As far as her spiritual welfare was concerned, I'm sure we can safely say that. She called upon the name of the Lord, not only for a child, but for spiritual blessings. And this commandment comes to us this evening. God in his holy providence has ordered it for all of us that we would hear his voice. Now, of course, there's hearing and hearing. But as far as an outward hearing is concerned just now, we are in the way of hearing God telling us through his word to seek him while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. Before we are taken away from this world, in one way or another, by death. This is the Lord calling us, but he comes with a warning. We can only call while he may be found, and when may the Lord be found? Well, we might put it like this. While we are still on mercy's ground, while we are still in this life, while he is near, while we are in a position to receive the gospel. Yes, well, that's our text this evening. And may the Lord bless it to us. Let us be asked that we would not only hear with the outward ear, but that we would hear inwardly, that the Lord would come where we are and speak into our souls, that he would say to our souls in a voice that we would not be able to resist, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. I have three main points this evening. And may the Lord bless us in trying to consider them. The first is, why are we to seek the Lord? Why are we to call upon him? And that speaks of our need, our spiritual need. The second thing is the command, or if you like, the commands to seek and to call. And then in the third place, there is a time appointed. It's described in two different ways, but they amount to the same thing. While he may be found, that's one way of putting it. While he is near, that's the other way of putting it. Well, these three things, our need, the command or commands, because they are very much pointing in the same direction. And then thirdly, the time appointed for obeying the command. Well, our need. Why do we need to seek the Lord? What is it we need? Why do we call upon? Why are we to call upon the Lord? Because we are needy. If we can just illustrate it briefly. You have a child. And the child calls upon his parent, father or mother. The child seeks something from the parent. Why? Well, the child feels a need. Whether it's a genuine need or otherwise, that's not the point. But the child thinks he needs something. And so he would naturally go to father or mother. That's the one who is most likely to supply his or her need. And so it is. If we think of our need of forgiveness, our need of being prepared to enter eternity, our need of forgiveness, our need of holiness, our need of grace, and so on. You could go right through all the aspects of the spiritual need of a sinner. Yes. All these aspects. And they would all be relevant. Though you can say, let us just take them all together and think of the need we have spiritually. And the Lord is the only one who can supply our needs. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working together for the salvation of sinners. Yes. And the Savior warns about going on in the broad way that leads to destruction. And another way of putting it then is that we would be delivered from the Broadway, that we would be delivered from destruction. What a solemn thing to be still on the Broadway that leads to destruction. There's the narrow way that leads to eternal life. But that's not the way we're on by nature. We're going in the wrong direction. And we must be conscious too of our need of being arrested, stopped. That's what it amounts to. Oh, what a crowd of people, wherever you go, are hurtling down the Broadway. I'm sure we're to take it as an illustration of that. The pigs in Gadara, and the devils were given permission to enter into them, and they hurtled down the steep slope which led to the sea, and they were drowned. Is that not an illustration of where people are going? And they need to be stopped. And if you were to think of the swine hurtling down the Bray, it's only a divine power, I'm sure, that could stop. And it's only a divine power that can stop sinners from going down the Broadway that leads to eternal destruction. We're in danger. We need to be rescued. We're sinners. We need to be made holy. We need to be forgiven. We need to be delivered from the wrath to come, you see. And put it another way, as Paul describes the past of the Ephesian believers to whom he was writing. He was describing their past like this, that they had no hope, and they were without God in the world. What a terrible matter it is for someone to come into trouble. You see, the Lord speaking through Jeremiah and saying to the Jews who were so determined to depart from it and to go hurtling down some steep slope, however you might describe it further, into a lost eternity. And he asks the question, what wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? What wilt thou say when it is too late? When mercy is no longer near, when mercy can no longer be found, it is too late. One step more, and they are in a lost eternity. But even not so far on as that, let us say. And the sinner, he comes into difficult circumstances. They lose, let us say, a loved one with whom they lived. They did everything together for a period of, say, 40, 50 years. They enjoyed each other's company. And if they had their little difficulties, they brought them to each other. And they could talk over them. They could comfort themselves in their difficulties. But what wilt thou say when greater trouble comes? What wilt thou say when the one who was beloved for like these 40, 50 years, when that one is taken away into eternity and you're left on your own, what wilt thou say if you have no hope? And you are without God in the world. No one to cast your troubles on. Yes. What a precious thing it is for a child of God who has lost a loved one to be able to draw near to the throne of grace, or to go boldly to the throne of grace, and to obtain mercy and grace to help in that most difficult time of need. Yes. But you see, the great need is, I was speaking about a great need, but there's a greater need still, to be taken away oneself into a lost eternity. That's something terrible. What wilt thou say, sinner, if you have not sought the Lord, if you have not called upon him, if you have not looked to the hope that has been set before you? What will you do? What will you say if you meet the awful punishments of a lost eternity coming moment by moment, ever so much closer to you? What will you say if you have not found Christ, if you have not really sought him, if you have not called upon him believingly as one who was set before you in the scripture? What need, what desperate need. Yes. I said these things before you by way of warning, in the hope that the Lord in his mercy would draw near to you and show you what he is able to do for you still, while you are still on mercy's ground. You know what the phrase means. It's often used while you're still in this world. Well, mercy is brought near to you when Christ comes close to you and points you to mercy to be found in Christ Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Yes. But you see, the need that a sinner has. Follow the prodigal son, Luke 15. The third of the Savior's parables in that chapter, and each one shedding light upon another. But this one, the son who became disloyal to his father, he wanted to get away from him, wanted to get away, we might say, from true religion. Yes, let me say it to young people growing up, may the Lord keep you, and you be seeking that. May the Lord keep you from wanting to get away from true religion. What disturbs you in your soul, and you don't like that? There's a better thing than that. Seek ye the Lord. Call upon him. Do not try to get away into the world. Well, you will not be disturbed in your conscience as you think. But you see, conscience will go with you into a lost eternity. Conscience will not go quiet when your soul passes from this world. Confront your conscience, if I can put it like that. Confront your conscience and your need that your conscience is testifying to while you are still in this world, while you are still hearing the word of God, where you have still the opportunity of going to pray. Yes. And the prodigal went away. He went away from the father and the father's kindness. He went to a far country. He left prosperous. He was prosperous when he left home. No shortage of money. But he ran into a shortage of money. He wasted his substance and bribed his living. You see, he came into a state of need. And it's all a picture, a series of pictures, of course. The sinner away from God. Whether that sinner has given up the listening to the things of God, or whether the sinner is still coming to hear the word, still hearing the word of God read. Yes, whatever. But the sinner is still in a state of very great need. He came to realize his need. And all I'm doing just now is speaking about the need. But what was true about the prodigal son was, he was brought to a sense of need. And people today can waste their substance. Not just their spiritual substance, their spiritual opportunities, but they can waste at the same time their money, their possessions. They can spend their money on drink. They can waste their money on what's not really necessary to a comfortable lifestyle. And then they wonder where it's all gone. And you see, we were singing in Psalm 14. We are told about when the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And the result of all that was, they're all gone aside. They're all gone out of the way. They've wasted their substance. Or perhaps we can put it in another way. They have been young. They have had many opportunities. They have got old. They can't get out to the means of grace any longer. Yes, their eyes have lost that power. They can't read the scriptures anymore. And though somebody would read them, they can hardly hear anything that is said. Well, youth is the time when we should make use of our opportunity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I am no pleasure in them. Your need, you see, your spiritual need. But that's more a point for the under the third head, and I hope to come back to that. But just now, in the second place, the command or commands. And I'm not sure how very much difference there is between them. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. Call upon him as he is revealed to you. Revealed in the Word. So we should be going to the Bible. You see, Psalm 63, Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Now no doubt that is a special application to the children of God, and that's not the line I'm going to follow out. But you see, to the extent that we can apply it to the unconverted, you should be saying, oh Lord, thou art my God, it's my creator, the one that is preserving me in being in this world. Yes. Oh Lord, thou art my God. Thou didst bring me into existence. And what a wonderful thing it is. If one would hear a sinner saying, I will seek thee. And not only that, but I will seek thee early. I will seek thee now. Before my time runs out. And we are most unwise if we are promising ourselves endless years. You might deny that. But it may be very much the way you are living. Endless years. Always putting off into the indefinite future. The time when you will die. The time when you will be taken away from this world. If you would come to this, my soul thirsteth after thee. In a dry and parched land where no water is. That's the way you might feel it. But you're not in a dry land, where you are spared in this world. You're not in a parched land where no water is. There is water if you would go and drink. And you see, that's what the Word of God is saying to sinners. John chapter 8, on that last day of the feast, when Jesus stood and cried, what was it that he said? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Sinner, come, before it is too late. Christ is near you. Christ is speaking to you. To you. Have you felt Christ speaking to you? Perhaps you have felt Christ speaking to your conscience. Has Christ gone further and spoken to you about the glorious provision he has made for sinners? Have you heard Christ speaking to you and saying, whatever you need, come to me and take a deep, long drink, even take a sip of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And if you had taken a cup of salvation, why would you call on the name of the Lord if you have got that blessing already? Because you need more of it. Because you need more and more and more of it. And Christ is coming near to you with all spiritual blessings. He is able to forgive your sins. He is able to make you holy and to make you holier. He is able to keep you from evil. He is able to lead you on safely. There's an endless stream of spiritual blessings which he is setting before you and saying to you, here is water for your soul. Here is water in a thirsty land. Come, sinner, and drink. Come and drink. And you see what you are told in verse 1. We could go to chapter 1. Perhaps it would be a good exercise to go to chapter 1 before the night is out. But Let us confine ourselves at the moment to this chapter, when we are told, and even those who have no money, those who have no spiritual resources, and Christ is saying, come, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Have you come to realize how great your need is? Because you have no spiritual resources. You need to have it given to you from above. And remember that great preacher of the gospel, the Apostle Peter, and he is preaching Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ exalted, exalted a prince and a savior. To do what? To give repentance and forgiveness of sins. To give repentance and forgiveness of sins. And are you, when you are somewhat disturbed in your soul, when your conscience is speaking, are you saying, but I cannot believe, I cannot repent, I cannot do anything? And there's certainly a sense in which that is so, very much so. But there's something else. Christ is exalted to give these things. Although you cannot, yet will you not go knocking? Will you not go asking? Will you not go seeking? Will you not call upon the name of the Lord? Will you not call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is set before you in the word of God? Yes. Oh, let us go together. Those who have been already, and those who have had the door of grace open to them, and Christ has come out, and he has spoken even a few words of mercy, a few words of assurance of salvation, a few words of his power to deliver from sin and from all the consequences of sin. Yes. And he came, and he is able to come again. He is able to open the door of salvation to those who have not believed. And he is able to and ready to reopen the door to those who have been knocking since many years. Perhaps they're still not sure that they ever met, that they ever found. Oh, they tried to seek. They can't deny that, perhaps. But they can't be sure that they ever found. Well, keep coming. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Come again and again and again. He's coming near to you. Call upon him. Remember Bartimaeus. He needed his eyes to be opened. He needed his eyes to be opened. That was his great need in temporal things. No doubt he had spiritual needs. And one would believe that he got these needs supplied. When the Savior graciously opened the eyes of his body, perhaps he had had the eyes of his soul opened already. But can we not say that in this meeting with Christ, he got a reopening of his eyes? Oh, let us come. Let us come. Let us come again and again and again. What a wonderful thing it would be if there were people here who at every service of this communion season would have their eyes reopened, and that they would come and get good for their souls, Christ coming near to them in the gospel, giving them the assurance all over again that he came into the world to save sinners and to carry on the work of salvation in the sinner's soul. Yes. Christ, as should be obvious from this chapter, Christ is very generous with his blessings, with his mercies, with his salvation. Christ is very generous. He is a generous giver. And let me remind you again, he is exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. Now I'm sure that's not indicating the length and the breadth and the depth of the height and the height of what the Savior is able to give and what the Savior is ready to give. These are just examples, and you can add to them indefinitely. Christ is able to save to the uttermost. Or you say, it's a great salvation I need. Well, that's what Christ has provided. No limit to it. And all the good things of the spiritual world, illustrated by the good things of this world, wine and milk, and they're available without money and without price. However little you have, however much you have been convinced that what you have is nothing worth, don't let that keep you back. If you were very poor, you had no money at all, what would you do? Would you go rushing down to the supermarket to get a bag full of groceries? You would rather say, I've got nothing to pay. There's no point in me going there. There may be other places you could go to, and you get a bag of useful things. But we're spiritually poor. We're spiritually needy in the extreme. And we look in the pocket of our souls, so to speak. And we poke around and we think of bringing out what is there. And we take our hand out and there's nothing in it. Does that keep us from coming to Christ? Should that stop us where we are? No. What the Savior gives, he really gives. It's without money, and it's without price. Do not hold back. You might say, I'm unworthy. Go to Christ. All the worthiness is in him. You might say, I have so many sins to separate between me and my God. Go to Christ. He is the one that can take away all that separates between you and him. He is able to save to the uttermost. You might say, I could believe that I could be saved if it wasn't for that great sin of 30 years ago, or whatever the figure might be. That doesn't matter. Oh, what you need to remember is that Christ is able to save to the uttermost who come unto God through Christ. And what a great matter it would be if in the preaching of this communion season, the direction of even one sinner was turned away from looking to themselves and what they are able to do, and to look to Christ and what he has done. Do not let the sins of your past keep you. Take your sins, bundle them all up as it were, take them in your hand, and go to Christ and tell him, these are my sins, but I hear that thou art able to save to the atoms. You see, there's the testimony of the word of God. How many verses have I quoted since I started to speak? Doesn't matter. But my point is this. These verses are to encourage you to go to Christ with all your sins. Not all your sins but one. Not all your sins but two or three. But go with them all, and many a sin you cannot remember, and take them all with you, even with your empty pocket, and all your pockets are empty, but there's Christ, and he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him. And you might be tempted to say, it would be all right if so-and-so would go with their sins to Christ. Perhaps you're tempted to say, they haven't many sins, they haven't very serious sins. Well, they have. And even if it was just this, that they have been unbelieving, they have gone on rejecting Christ, and what sin could be more serious than that? What sin could have more mass than that to weigh you down to a lost eternity? Yes. Oh, go to Christ as you are. Tell him that you are a sinner. Tell him that you have sinned great sins, and your own works cannot deliver you. You have no power, you have no merit. Oh, but take another look to Christ and see that he is all powerful to redeem, all powerful to save, and his merit is infinite. Think of the great merit of your unbelief. But then think of this, the unlimited power of Christ to save. He is able to save to the uttermost. Go to Christ. Do not stay back. Do not start talking about how different things may be. If you had been more careful when you were younger. No, just go. Take all your big sins and all your smaller sins. I'm thinking of something is said by James Durham, I think it was. And he was on his deathbed. And he was speaking in some way like this, of gathering up all his great sins and all his little sins. And I'm sure he didn't believe that any of the smaller sins were truly little. But he was gathering them all up in one bundle or one heap. And he cast them all on the Savior. And soon he was in heaven. And he had no sins to gather up. Christ had taken. Christ had carried them away. Yes. But perhaps we should move on. I suppose we could go on in this line for long enough. But let us move on, because there's another point to be handled before the time runs out. And that is, there's a time appointed here. While he may be found, while he is near. And they amount to the same thing, basically. Yes. We are warned, if a man live many years, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for there shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. And I'm just going to make a point or two in anything that I bring up. The days of darkness. Let me just apply that as I've applied something else to the passage into a lost eternity. Days of darkness. The blackness of darkness forever. No light. No opportunity of light. Then Christ is not to be found any longer when the sinner passes into eternity, unforgiven, unchanged, still going on in unbelief. Yes. Yes. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. While he is near, while the good shepherd is near, when the good shepherd is near you, ready to take you by the hand. And what's stopping you? Oh, your unbelief. How will you get rid of your unbelief? Go to Christ. And do you come back to this? I cannot go to Christ. Well, I've got nothing else to tell you. It's by faith, not by making yourself better. It's by faith, the outgoing of the soul to Christ as the one that God the Father has provided to be the Savior of sinners. Yes, it's all of grace. And he calls you to come to him. He calls you to believe in him. He calls you to seek. How are we to seek? Well, a very important matter in that is that we would make use of the means of grace. Yes. That's where we're to find Christ. We read in Proverbs about the gates and the doors. We should be knocking there. We should be standing there. But standing and knocking, not idly. Yes. Make use of all the means of grace. Be in church as often as you possibly can. Be at the throne of grace again and again, asking for mercy, asking for the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in your dark soul. Yes. Be reading the Bible. And as far as it is possible for you, when you are half an opportunity, I may say, to think about the things of God. I know there may be things you have to do, and you have to give your attention to them. The Lord sees that. The Lord understands that. But there's many another time, I am sure, when you have every opportunity to be thinking about the needs of the soul. Oh, make use of every opportunity. May the Lord give us grace. I spoke about the Lord working in the heart of a sinner, and this is no doubt part of it. Drawing the sinner's attention again and again to the opportunities that he has to obtain mercy. To think over the truths of God's word. Not just to read, but to pray over them. To seek the Lord in the light of them. Tell him that you have heard various things about him that are relevant to your present condition, that he is able, listen to this, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for sinners. And what you need when you are calling upon his name is the Lord coming where you are. The Lord taking your poor petitions, sinful petitions, selfish petitions, and the Lord takes, the Lord Jesus takes, and he spreads them out before his Father, and he makes mention, we might say, of the great work that he accomplished in this world, and he spreads then before the Father, these petitions for sinners, even for sinners for whom he died. Yes. And he asks for the Holy Spirit to go and work in that sinner's soul and to bring glimmers of light into that sinner's soul so that he might see Jesus. And in relation to that, let me just mention to you another call of the gospel. You hear it time and time again. The Lord saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And you can apply that in this way. However far away you might be from God at this moment, he is calling to you. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Christ is saying, I am God. Christ is saying, there is no other Savior. Well, look to Christ. Trust in him. Make use of the means of grace. Seek a blessing in what we read today. Seek a blessing on what you have heard this evening. And go to the Lord, asking him to draw you by his grace, to pardon your sin, and to make you holy for the sake of Christ. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Make us thankful for thy goodness. Make us thankful for the gospel. May we make good use of it. May thy people value thy word over again. And may those who are not thy people be brought to value it. May they seek thee while they were to be found. May they call upon thee while thou art near. Grant thy blessing. Wash away our sins. Grant thy word with power. Be our God and guide forever. Bless this whole communion season. Bless what we heard about this morning. And be with us to all the other services. And be with us in particular, at the time of the remembrance of the Savior's death, keep us from evil and wash away our sin. Do us good. Be our God and our guide forever. Grant thy blessing and favor and help for time and for eternity. And oh, make us altogether and continually dependent upon thyself. Keep us from evil. Wash away our sin. Make us holy. Pour out thy spirit. Do wonderful things throughout this world. Bless thy servants everywhere. And grant to raise up many more. And grant that sinners would be willing to listen to thy word. Pardon us and keep us and make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.